Today we begin a new sermon series on the book of Joel. And so for the next few Sundays, we'll be focusing on this book in the Old Testament. And the topic that I've chosen for this sermon today is consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. And this has been taken from verse 14 of Joel chapter 1. Friends, time orders our lives. There's a time to wake up, and for most of us, it would be in the morning. A time for meals, a time for work, and a time for rest. We also mark special occasions in time, such as birthdays, anniversaries, and milestones in our lives. And we go through different transitions and seasons in the course of our lives. God created time and seasons in our physical world. God marks out day from night and the seasons of summer, spring, autumn, and winter. Time places things in a certain order. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, the wise teacher pointed out that for everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, and so on and so forth. Just as there are times and seasons in the physical realm, God has also ordained times and seasons in the spiritual realm. Israel is a case in point. The Jews were persistently disobedient to God, and so God disciplined them by sending them into exile when the Babylonians conquered Judah. But God placed a time frame to their exile, and he made it known through the prophet Jeremiah that he will restore his people to their homeland after 70 years. Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled in 539 BC, when the Persians came and conquered the Babylonians and allowed the Jews to return to their homeland. To cite another example concerning Israel, in 1948, Israel became a nation again. The first time Israel was established as a country was after Moses led the Hebrew people out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery, and then Joshua led them in their conquest of Canaan. The second time Israel was established as a nation was after the Jews had been scattered far and wide for hundreds of years. This second time round, the Jews returned from as far as the United States, China, Russia, and South Africa. God had ordained these events in his time. The Jews' return to Israel in 1948 was again another fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And this prophecy was given by Jeremiah, Amos, Ezekiel, and Isaiah. I just want to highlight one of these prophecies given by Jeremiah. Okay, and this is what is stated in Jeremiah. However, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when men will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, for I will restore them to the land I gave their forefathers. Today, God is still ordaining the times and the seasons in our world. Suddenly, from firing missiles over Japan and threatening the US with war, Chairman Kim Jong-un met South Korean President Moon Jae-in on the 27th of April to put an end to the 65-year-long war between the two Koreas. And following this, after a series of twists and turns, the two leaders, President Trump and Chairman Kim, finally met on Singapore soil on the 12th of June for peace talks. In one day, these two former enemies shook hands and they signed a letter signifying the first step towards denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. I believe some people are right when they say that this historic event ushers in a new era for the world. And I believe there's more to come. God has worked this miracle. Nations are being transformed so that the gospel may reach many in these last days. God brings about change in response to the cries of his people. South Korean Christians had been fasting and praying for the peace summit. The pastors had held an all-night prayer meeting in a city south of the North Korean border. And according to Korean news reports, a group of Christian politicians had fasted and prayed in the National Assembly buildings in Seoul. North Korean Christians had been the most persecuted Christians in the world. They were number one on the list. They had also been fasting and praying for years for this moment. Christians in America, Christians in Singapore, and all around the world have for some time been fasting and praying for breakthrough in North Korea. Pyongyang is the capital of North Korea. Did you know that it was once the center for revival movements? This revival movements climaxed in the Great Pyongyang Revival in 1907. And from there, the revival spread to the whole nation of Korea. And by 1910, Pyongyang was the most Christianized area of Korea. And it was called the Jerusalem of the East. God has moved mightily in this nation. And he continues to do so in response to the cries of his people. God has a destiny for Singapore too. Especially in these last days before Christ returns. Our bishop, as well as a great number of city pastors, have sensed that it is time for revival in Singapore. And I'd like to quote an extract from Bishop's message to the diocese during Lent. And Bishop said, "We are entering a season of God's amazing visitation upon the church and upon the land. It's all because of God's merciful heart and unstoppable purpose. I believe it will be a visitation of the Lord that leads to a radiant holiness, a bumper harvest of souls, righteousness in the land, and a marvelous raising of kingdom workers for the mission fields of the world. And I know that such a visitation of the Lord is undergirded by a church that gives itself to prayer and fasting." And I'd like to repeat the last sentence. "I know that such a visitation of the Lord is undergirded by a church that gives itself to prayer and fasting." You know, friends, prophets around the world have also been sensing that the church is in a time of unprecedented global harvest, where many hearts will turn to Christ. In the history of the church, there has been a pattern. Massive, united, corporate fasting and prayer was followed by effective evangelistic ministries on a massive scale. Ministries such as those of Billy Graham, where thousands responded to the gospel in the Billy Graham Crusades. How many of you were here or went to a Billy Graham Crusade in those days? Ah, okay. Yes, there's a few of you. Praise the Lord. And we want to see that happening once again in Singapore. After I preached at 7 a.m. this morning, Canon Louis' wife, Pressy, came up to me and she told me that someone had asked Billy Graham in those days, how is it that so many people responded to your altar call at the National Stadium? And Reverend Graham told this person, it is because this place has been saturated in prayer. It is because the Christians have been praying and preparing the hearts of the people to receive Christ. And he himself recognized the place of prayer in the evangelistic crusades. And he even said that because of prayer, people respond. Even if he talked about the weather, people will still respond because the Christians prayed. And Pressy mentioned to me that in those days, they went to every seat in the National Stadium to pray for God's presence to be there. To emphasize the need for fasting and prayer, Bishop Rennies has designated 2018 as a year of prayer, a year where we focus on really seeking God's face in prayer. And then in 2019, we would focus on proclaiming the gospel on a personal level, but on a massive scale. Everyone evangelizing, sharing the gospel with others. And this would naturally follow in 2020 with discipleship, when we disciple the ones who come to Christ. Derek Prince wrote a book on fasting in 1986, and I'd like to quote from it. He said, "We have seen the measureless power that is released by prayer and fasting when practiced with the right motives and in accordance with the principles of Scripture. The power thus released can change not only individuals and families, but whole cities, nations, and civilizations." And then he went on to cite two examples from the Bible: Nineveh in the time of Jonah, and the Jews in the Persian Empire in the time of Queen Esther. In Jonah's case, God had sent this prophet to Nineveh to warn the people that he would destroy the city because of their wickedness. And what happened after Jonah gave them God's word? The whole city repented. They fasted and they prayed in sackcloth and with ashes. They cried out to God for mercy. And in response to their cries, God did not destroy the city. In the case of the Jews in Queen Esther's time, Queen Esther had requested the Jews to fast and pray for 3 days before she approached the king on their behalf. And as a result, they were spared from Haman's evil schemes to completely destroy and annihilate the Jewish population in the Persian Empire. In each case, the course of history was radically and permanently changed when a group of people humbled themselves before God by prayer and fasting. What does God expect from us in order that we may experience revival in Singapore. The Singapore Church across denominations must give itself to fasting and prayer and cry out to God for the revival of our land. Anne Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham, just recently asked her mother this question: why is it that we do not have revival? Her mother's reply was, if we are going to have revival, we must be desperate enough. The book of Joel opens with a scene of total disaster and devastation. And the people were desperate in their hopeless situation. Their land was literally wiped clean by swarms of locusts. And the grim picture of this devastation is painted for us in these words, in chapter 1, in verse 4. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Everything was wiped clean by these swarms of locusts. Even the barks and the branches of trees were stripped bare. The grain was totally destroyed. The vine that produced wine dried up. Every fruit tree was destroyed. The ground mourns. Can you imagine this picture of total devastation? And so the prophet told the people to weep, to mourn, to lament, to wail. This is the appropriate response of a desperate people who have lost everything. What the people of Nineveh in Jonah's time, the Jews in Queen Esther's time, and the Jews in Joel's time had in common was a desperation to fast and to pray for God's divine intervention. I wonder if any one of us have felt such a desperation before. Perhaps on a personal level, when we have met with crisis in our life, yes, we were desperate to fast and to pray and to call out to God. But have we as a church in Singapore been desperate enough to fast and to pray and to cry out to God for the revival of our land? It is such desperation that turns people Godward. In the book of Joel, the priests were told to put on sackcloth and to lament and to wail, to consecrate a fast, to call a solemn assembly, to gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord and cry out to the Lord. Do we want to wait for such a devastation to come upon us in Singapore before we will be desperate enough to fast and to pray for God's blessing upon our land? Why would we want to do that? Let us learn from the prophet Daniel. Daniel read the book of Jeremiah while he was still in Babylonian exile. And he understood that God had promised to restore his people back to their homeland after 70 years in exile. And he knew that according to God's timetable, the time of their exile would soon come to an end. What did Daniel do? Did he just fold his arms, sit around and wait for the time to come? No. He did not do that. We read in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3 that Daniel sought the Lord by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes, they are the outward signs of an inward, genuine repentance, a brokenness in our hearts over sin, a sorrowing over our sin, a desperate posture towards God, where we acknowledge in our humility that apart from God, we cannot do anything. Just as the priests of Joel's day called all the people to consecrate a fast and to a solemn assembly, the pastors in our land are calling all of us, every Christian in the body of Christ in Singapore, to consecrate a fast and to come for solemn assemblies. Today, the 1st of July, marks the beginning of a historic first for the Singapore Church. For the first time in the history of the church in Singapore, the pastors of the city are calling every Christian, yes, all Christians, regardless of our spiritual age, our titles, or our positions, together for solemn assemblies. And these solemn assemblies are decentralized in various locations in the central, the north, the east, and the west of the island. Every evening from the 1st of July, starting tonight, to the 7th of August, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., solemn assemblies will be held in various host churches. Details are shown in this publicity brochure, which was inserted in the church bulletin last Sunday. If you have misplaced this brochure, or if for some reason you do not have a copy, you can pick up another copy at the information desk after the service. Do find a church to go to. Go as a connect group, go as a ministry group, gather a few friends and go, and even if no one is going with you, go yourself and come to a solemn assembly where you meet other Christians in the body of Christ, join hands with them to fast and pray for our nation. Don't worry about the type of host church. Don't worry about whether their worship is contemporary or traditional. Don't worry about any of these forms of worship. But be where God wants us to be. Be present with God. Join hands with other brothers and sisters across this nation to fast and to pray for our nation. You will notice from the publicity brochure that our cathedral is hosting 3 nights of solemn assemblies on the 5th, 6th, and 7th of August. But please don't just join these prayer meetings on these 3 nights hosted by cathedral, but find a church to go to, maybe a church near your home. Unite with others in massive corporate prayer. And I believe that God will hear the cries of His people for the revival of our land. The main purpose of fasting is to humble ourselves before God, to forego the natural in order to lay hold of the supernatural. Eating is natural to us, and especially Singaporeans, we do love food. When we forego food, we turn away from what is natural and turn to God, the supernatural. There are many different types of fasts, and you can vary your fast throughout these 40 days. For information on the different types of fasts, you can refer to this 40-day lunch fast and prayer booklet. It is a very valuable prayer resource and is available at the information desk from today at only $1 a copy. Use it for your daily quiet time. So you can find in the last few pages, somewhere in the back of this book, the various types of fasts and how you can enter into those fasts. And I also like to mention that running concurrently with the solemn assemblies is the usual 40-day lunch fast and prayer. This lunch fast and prayer has been ongoing every year for the past 21 years. This year is the 22nd year. It's from 1st of July to the 8th of August, from 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. on weekdays, Mondays to Fridays, and it will be in the South Transept Hall. So this will take place concurrently with the solemn assemblies. The solemn assemblies, the lunch fast prayer, they were all climax in a big prayer meeting for everyone on the 8th of August evening at the indoor stadium, where all of us will gather for a time of prayer. And this event is called the Day of His Power. And more details will be released to you closer to the date. Do mark out another national initiative for prayer in your diary. The 7th of October, this is on the oversight of the publicity brochure for solemn assemblies. National Day of Prayer, held at the Sports Hub, where we are gathering 50,000 Christians to come and pray together to seek the welfare of our nation. Friends, it's a new day. It's a new season for the church in Singapore. It is God's time for us. And we need to align ourselves to the purposes of God. Do not miss this season. Do not let it pass you by without being a part of God's mighty move for this nation. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you've chosen this little red dot for a divine purpose, to be the Antioch of Asia. Even as you desire to bring revival into our land, you want to bless us so that we can be a blessing to the nations around us. And so, Lord, we pray that you call us to yourself. We need to be in that place, O God, with you, O God, to seek your face with fasting and with prayer, so that, Lord, we can flow with your purposes. So, Lord, as your word goes forth, let it sink deep into every heart and let it take root in our lives. We want to be faithful to your calling. We want, O God, all that you have for us. We want to embrace you, and we want, Lord, to live in that moment where your glory, Lord, comes upon Singapore and you visit us in this nation, and we can see thousands coming to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us, Lord, the grace to fast and to pray. And we know that even though we may fail you sometimes, when we can't fast, Lord, help us not to feel condemned, and let us not let this exclude us from coming for the prayer meetings, for you desire us to be present with you and with one another, O God, in this season, this critical time of fasting and prayer. We commit ourselves, Lord, into your hands. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.